You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and the CEO of Mercedes-Benz Worldwide. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders that our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be in Montreal speaking with Marisa West, president of General Motors Canada, the Canadian subsidiary of one of the world's largest auto manufacturers. Marisa, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do back in the day?
Yeah, I grew up in southeastern Michigan. They're part of the Big Three, and so actually I'm a multi-generational GM employee. Both my dad and grandfather were GM employees.
Wow.
So I grew up with the automotive industry, really part of my blood, part of who I am. And when I went to university, I knew early on that I was destined for a career in the automotive industry. So here I am today.
How far from Detroit is that?
We were in Flint, or the Flint area, which is about an hour outside of Detroit, but was very integral to the automotive industry in the early days as well.
Why did you know that you wanted to be in the automotive industry beside your grandfather and your father? What drew you to it as a young person?
Truthfully, as a young person, I think it was the product. It was just kind of an infatuation with the vehicles themselves. I was always very excited. I recall going to auto shows with my family at a very early age, and I would collect all of the brochures and the pictures and pamphlets and go home and play car dealership. And so I was very interested in the product itself. As I grew up, I recognized I had a propensity for math and science, and the complexity of the industry was very appealing to me. So again, kind of through high school, I was deciding, did I want to go into engineering or did I want to take a business path and maybe the marketing side of things? And my dad highly encouraged me to go engineering. He said, you know, do your undergrad in the technical engineering. You've got the aptitude for it. You've got the passion for it. And then you can do, you know, business after that. And that was great advice. And that was exactly what I did. I actually ended up getting my undergrad and master's degree in mechanical engineering. And that got me into General Motors. And I've had an incredible career there to date. And I'm continuing to enjoy that career today.
So in the 90s, you were a teenager. What is the car of the 90s that you go, if your family said, let's get together and buy her a super gift of a car, what is the car you'd like from the 1990s?
So truthfully, the first one I fell in love with was the Pontiac Grand Prix. And I think it launched new in 1995, was a new model, and I really loved that one. My dad actually had a company car that was a GTP, so it had a supercharged engine, and you could squeal the tires without even trying. So I loved that car, and of course, you know, the Corvette. My Barbies rode in a Corvette in the 80s, and so that was, you know, always a vehicle of that had quite a bit of interest to me.
I remember it in the 60s, but when I saw a Corvette recently, it's a very different car. I mean, it's still the Corvette spirit, but it looks very different.
Yeah, we recently launched the C8, so that's the 8th generation Corvette, and it's a mid-engine supercar. It looks, you know, very exotic and very powerful, and that's exactly what it is.
How does an engineer look at the world that's different than a lawyer or an MBA or whatever?
In my experience, it's you look at everything from a problem-solving perspective. And actually, it's not that much different than the other industries you mentioned, but you approach everything as this is a problem that can be solved, and there's an innovation here somewhere that can be realized.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Marisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. Marisa, you're just past your first 90 days in Canada. What do you do in the first 90 days? What are the things a leader should do in the first 90-100 days?
Learn and listen a lot. That was my approach. It's been my approach. You know, I've had an opportunity to be in a new role, you know, several times throughout my career and in a new leadership role too. And I find the most important thing you can do is ask questions and listen to the response of the team. I assume trust and I assume goodness in the team members, and I listen to what they have to say. I listen to what's keeping them up at night. And I ask the all-important question, what do you need from me to be successful? And who do you need me to know to be successful? And that will generate a good list of more people that I need to go and talk to and listen.
Why do you ask that question? Who do you need to know?
Because we're in a people business, and I think every industry is that way. But I believe as a leader, the ability to network is a great opportunity and a great strength for you to support your team. And so it's my favorite question to ask is always, you know, who do I need a relationship with for you to be successful?
Is that generally within GM?
It is, but in many times it's not just within GM. So particularly in this new role, you know, I have a lot of responsibility externally, and so I think it depends on the role a bit.
So you're the CEO more or less in Canada. How's it different being CEO, or is it really that different being running Canada?
Yeah. Well, for me personally, it's very different because I came from product development, and product development within General Motors is really the largest organization within the company, and it's full of engineers. And I was a chief engineer, I was a development engineer, I was a chassis engineer. I've done many, many different engineering-focused, product development-focused roles, and many of those in leadership positions as well, both leading programs as well as large teams. Coming into Canada, it's this small version of General Motors. I think of it as I'm learning. It's about 10th the size. The market's the 10th the size of the U.S. But within General Motors Canada, we have a bit of every single organization. We have a sales, service, and marketing organization. We have an engineering organization. We have manufacturing footprint here. We have 450 dealers, and so. You know, it's much, much more cross-functional than when I worked in product development. Even though I did have, you know, managing programs, we worked with marketing and we worked with design studio and cross-functionally. But as you put it, the CEO of GM Canada or the president and managing director, there's a lot of opportunity for me to learn, and being, you know, somewhat product development and engineering focused in the earlier parts of my career, this was a really intentional development opportunity also to sort of spread my wings.
Well, it's really general manager in the fuller sense of the word. You're running a business, but you've got to talk to the government. So in the U.S. it would be to Washington, but it'd be very senior levels. Here you're the face of GM to the government. Have you done a little bit of that yet, or is it more in the future?
I have, yeah. I've had a great opportunity. It's a really critical time for our industry, and we've made some significant investments. And in fact, day three of the job, we made a really big investment about what we were doing at CAMI, which is where we're going to build the BrightDrop electric van. We reopened Oshawa, and we were investing again. We have up to a third three-shift operation at Oshawa, and so we had a joint announcement with the Canadian government on my third day in the job. So I would say I started to learn very, very quickly. But since then, through a variety of different venues, things, panel discussions, roundtables, we have a lot of work to do on this transition to the electric vehicle future. And General Motors is all in. And so I have frequently interfaced with key ministers, both of provincial and federal government here in Canada. And I think I'll be doing a lot more of that while I'm in this role.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Marisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. You had a number of quite diverse experiences across GM. When is it time to move on to the next one? Or is it kind of something where, you know, they look at it and say, we need to develop you and here's the next role?
Yeah, that's a great question. One I've asked my own mentors and sponsors along the way. And I think it depends on the situation and the individual. In my case, you know, it was either you've learned what you have to learn here and you've contributed what you need to contribute and now it's time. Or in some cases, it's when the right opportunity comes up, you strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. And so I think there's been a combination of those. One time in my career, I did say, you know, I just want to stay put for a while because I want to complete this thing. And they said, you could do that and you would do a great job at it, but this is a really good opportunity right now. And if you don't take it right now, it might not be there in a year. And so it's all about timing.
How do you feel about the process of adjusting to new roles? Do you enjoy the challenge?
I have felt that way a bit. You know, it's being on the steep part of a learning curve can be exhausting and stressful. It's also exhilarating. So I have felt, you know, I've been on the steep part of a learning curve in a lot of cases because I've changed jobs relatively quickly. But, you know, it's also been described as aptitude to learn quickly and contribute, you know, because you're a quick learner. Those are strengths. And so it's afforded me a lot of opportunity to see a lot of things in a relatively short period of time and then get ready for the next challenge.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Larisa West, President of General Motors Canada. When we come back, we'll discuss the trajectory of her career and how GM is pushing the limits of transportation. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today, I'm delighted to be in Montreal speaking with Larisa West, President of General Motors Canada. Tell us a little bit about GM Canada. Give a sense for it.
Yeah, that's great. So we have three main assembly plants. One of them is Oshawa, one of them is Kami, and one of them is our powertrain plant at St. Catharines. We have four PDCs, which are part distribution centers that service really all of our 450 dealers. So we have a large dealer network across the entire country. And then we have two technical centers. One is in Markham and one is in Oshawa. And between those two technical centers, we have 1,200 engineers primarily working on software.
Software? I thought you built cars. Why is software such a big deal?
Yeah, software is absolutely the brain of the vehicles and has been for some time, but the trajectory of technological innovation that we're on with software and controls and autonomous driving and active safety features, it's been exponential growth over the last decade. What we found is that there's really an epicenter here in Toronto and Montreal as well. So you mentioned McGill and University of Montreal and University of Toronto and Waterloo. Those are really hotbeds of talent for this artificial intelligence and machine learning and software engineering, which is fundamental to our evolution and the direction that we're going with our vehicles. So that's a huge reason that we established this, you know, large population of engineers right here in the, I'll call it the Greater Toronto area.
How big is GM worldwide, and then how big is Canada GM?
So Canada is the third largest market, the U.S. first, China second, and Canada third. Okay. And we're about 10% of the U.S. So, and from an employee standpoint, you know, we have a partner in China. We have a few global centers, but the bulk of our employee base at this point, salary is in the U.S.
Okay. I did not realize China was your second largest market. How long has that been that China's been this really key player for GM?
It's been evolving over time, but I think, you know, back in the early 2000s is when GM went into China and really saw that as a strategic market and a growing market.
The 450 dealers, they're independent dealers, are they? What's your relationship? Like, do you go visit them, or what's the role of the president with the dealers?
Yeah, I do regular dealer visits. In fact, after today, I fly out to Calgary and spend some time with some of our dealers out in the Western region. We meet quarterly through our dealership council team to get feedback and work together. We really consider dealers, while they are franchise dealers, they're our partners. We consider them our competitive advantage. It's our already well-established distribution outlet for all of our product, and they're going to be pivotal in this electric vehicle transformation that we're undertaking. In fact, we have a plan across all of North America to spend $750 million on charging infrastructure, and we're going to use our dealerships, which are already, you know, again, well dispersed and distributed, to help us put those chargers in, install them within the communities that they live and work, because they know best how our customers can use the charging infrastructure. So our dealers are pivotal to our strategy.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Larisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. Electric vehicles. Where has GM got to, and where do you see the future in terms of electrical vehicles?
We are at an absolute inflection point in our transition to an all-electric future. We've been pretty bold about, you know, our aspirations. We will eliminate tailpipe emissions from our light-duty vehicles by 2035. That sounds like it's a long way away, but in this industry, the investment had to start happening, you know, years ago to achieve that. And so what we're at the point of right now, it's really exciting because by the end of this year, we'll have three of what I would consider really diverse products in the marketplace. So we have the affordable Bolt and the Bolt EUV. We'll have the Lyriq, which is our Cadillac, you know, really luxurious crossover vehicle. And then we have the GMC Hummer Super Truck. And so if you think of the Bolt and the Hummer, those are kind of two ends of the spectrum. And so we've spent a lot of time and frankly investment dollars over the last few years to develop these dedicated EV architectures so that we have compelling entries in every vehicle segment that's underpinned by our Ultium battery technology, and which is really kind of a modular battery architecture that can go in a Lyriq or it can go in a Hummer Super Truck and everything in between. And so that's taken a great amount of time and investment, but what we also have to do is get scale. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I see the point that we're at is we have this onslaught of product coming, and we're working on getting scale. We're going to have scale or capacity for a million electric vehicles by 2025 in North America. What has to come along with that is customer adoption. And that's actually, you know, where I'm spending a lot of my time is talking to the industry and the government to say, we are all in, we're gonna build the vehicles, we're bringing compelling products that are very capable, but the number one concern on our customers' minds remains, where am I going to charge it? Am I going to be able to go about my daily business the way I need to? The reality is 90% of their charging needs are covered at home or at work. However, there are those times where they don't want to alter their lifestyle because they don't know where they're going to charge their vehicle. And we have a long way to go in Canada with the charging infrastructure. The plans that the government has rolled out don't come anywhere near the ratio we believe we need of electrical, I'll say public electric vehicle charging to the electric vehicles on the road. And so infrastructure is definitely one barrier that we have to continue to tackle. And then very closely related to that is the grid. We need to have a reliable grid and energy distribution to those public chargers. And also, you know, if you live in a city in a high rise, that you have a charger, you know, at your residence as well. And then the third piece is affordability, because, you know, quite frankly, cost parity of an electric vehicle is not where an internal combustion engine vehicle is yet. And that's going to be a journey. And so we're going to need, you know, to continue to incentivize customers so that we can make EVs affordable.
So government still needs to provide incentives for our society to change.
We believe that's the point we're at, yes.
So Canada could improve. Is there a nation where you think they've done it better? Is there somewhere Canada should look and say, hey, in Iceland or wherever, they're doing it well, and we should look at them and emulate them?
I think the way that we can be the most successful in this endeavor is really to stay very closely integrated with the U.S. The U.S. is on this same journey. They're on the same trajectory. Since 1960, Canada's had an automotive industry that's been so fruitful here because of the proximity and the close integration with the U.S. And so I think that's the strategy for success here, is to remain aligned and take a North American approach, both with our battery supply chain ecosystem as well as, you know, how we integrate and adapt the charging infrastructure.
Is there a state in the U.S. that's doing better? I mean, one might think Michigan or California or New York on general principle, but is there a state which stands out in your mind?
Well, in terms of EV adoption and willingness, you know, California is leading the way, but second to California is Quebec.
Oh, really?
In EV adoption. And so, you know, we do see that the customers are beginning to embrace electric vehicles and the consideration for purchase is definitely rising. And I think California is targeting around an 8-to-1, so one charger per 8 electric vehicles. That's their target. The rest of the U.S. states are thinking about around a 1-to-10. And so I think that that's probably about the right ratio of the infrastructure to the electric vehicles. When you think about that for Canada, you know, by the time we have 50% electric vehicles, you're going to need a million chargers, and we aren't anywhere close.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CO Series, interviewing Marisa West. How much can we expect the efficiency of battery technology to improve in the near future?
Certainly, battery technology will continue to evolve. We have line of sight, you know, in the future to continue to improve, you know, energy density, continue to evolve the battery technology. So, you know, much like the internal combustion engine, it's going to evolve over time and it's going to become much more efficient. But I think the general transfer of energy and charging and that model is, you know, going to remain constant.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Montreal speaking with Marisa West, President of General Motors Canada. Next up, we'll talk about leadership and EDI strategy at GM Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore, and this is the CEO Series. We're speaking with Marisa West of General Motors Canada. Supply chain during the pandemic, and we've seen it kind of globalization's morphing, where at one point, kind of the whole world was this globalized economy, but now we're starting to say, we're not sure we want to have too many suppliers in Asia because of distance, because of COVID-19 or whatever, and we're looking more regional. So US, Canada, Mexico is one natural. Do you see an evolution of supply chain in terms of General Motors Canada and General Motors in general?
So we absolutely see an opportunity. And, you know, if anything, the last 2 years has taught us the volatility of a globalized supply chain for a variety of reasons, as you mentioned. But I think it's highlighted an opportunity and perhaps helped us to adjust the priority a bit. And at GM Canada, I'm very committed to working with the government and working with our colleagues and our counterparts in the U.S. to see it as really a North American opportunity. But for example, we just announced a joint venture with POSCO Chemical to build a facility in Bécancour, Quebec. And so by 2025, that facility is going to be processing cathode active material, which is a key component to our Ultium batteries. And that cathode active material will be, you know, available to all of our battery packing plants in North America. That is phase one of the project, with certainly opportunity and desire to scale. And so what we're keen to do with our battery supply chain, because it's so integral to the future of the company, is to build really a strong, sustainable, scalable, and globally competitive battery supply chain within North America. And POSCO, that joint venture, is an indicator of that. And you know, there's more to come, but that is certainly part of our strategy.
So the future of General Motors is electric.
Yes.
So this is a huge change in your experience at GM. No, I don't think anything parallels it that I can think of in my lifetime, which is a bit longer than yours. So this is really amazing that it's gone forward, but it's just going, this is the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, climate change, I've heard it described as the main issue of this decade, and I think it's probably been an issue for longer, but certainly it's undeniable. And we have a responsibility. You know, our CEO, Mary Barra, has said it before, that, you know, we were part of the start of this industry, and as it's evolved, it's our industry to transform. And so we have a responsibility to address climate change, and with, you know, the biggest lever we have to do that is by addressing the tailpipe emissions in our vehicles, and also to become, you know, carbon neutral by 2040.
So it's not only the vehicles you can make, but how you make it and what you do internally.
Certainly.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Marisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. GM aspires to be the world's most inclusive company. How do you foster an inclusive work culture and sufficient and effective EDI strategy?
That's a great question, and one that's near and dear to my heart. And there's a lot of facets of that. One is mentorship within the company. One is attracting great talent to General Motors, diverse talent, be it female or race or gender or sexuality. Fostering that early in education. So, you know, we see that girls in particular start to count themselves out of STEM careers as early as 4 and 5 years old. We have a a large population of employees that are very passionate at GM Canada about supporting young girls in their STEM all the way through education, whether it's mentorship and Girl Guides badges, or if it's some of the activity through FIRST Robotics mentorship and things like that, because we do believe that showcasing a role model for young girls to see themselves in the automotive industry is really important. Another is we're really proud when we were hiring for our new production employees as we were reopening Oshawa. We have 50% are now females in our production crew. And these are women that came from all different industries and for the most part weren't working in manufacturing prior to these jobs. And part of it is rewriting the job description. It's as simple as that, because when you write a bunch of qualifications, you must have 10 years in manufacturing. Well, if they hadn't been there before, they wouldn't be there later. And so there, some of the things that we're doing are very tactical. Some of them are mentorship. Some of them are, you know, partnering with different entities and just continuing to fill the pipeline. It's going to take a tremendous amount of diverse talent to accomplish what General Motors needs to accomplish in our EV transition. And we want our workforce to be representative of our customer base and the communities where we sell our products. And so that requires a deep, diverse bench of talent.
I agree, diversity in background is vital to a team. In your opinion, how essential is diversity of functional background? Do accounts or lawyers bring something different to GM's table than engineers do?
I actually saw a graphic once, and you know, maybe it's a bit cliche, but it was an iceberg. And some of those elements of diversity that are visual, you know, are above the surface. And then there's probably at the waterline where some things are, you know, maybe visual, maybe not socioeconomic upbringing, things of that nature. And then there's a whole bunch of things under the surface that are diversity. And for me, it's diversity of thought and perspective. And when you're at a table and you have all of those people and they're trusted and requested to speak up and talk about it from their perspective, that's the kind of diversity that's important to me. And that's, you know, that diversity is generated from a whole host of different inputs.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Marisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. Marisa, who's a leader that you admire? Is there one or two that come to mind of people that are role models, whether, you know, in a book or in real life?
Certainly Mary Barra. You know, she, as the first female CEO of a, you know, large global automotive company, she's so approachable. She's so authentic. She really, truly cares about the mission of the company, the 000 strategy. It's about zero emissions to make the world a better place. It's about zero crashes because the safety of our customers is the most important thing. And then zero congestion, rather, because you know, you can get a lot of time back if you weren't spent sitting in traffic and things like that. So Mary is absolutely a leader that I admire. Another one that I've mentioned before is Barack Obama. I thought that, you know, he had a very strong leadership presence and he came across as very authentic and kind. And so I've noticed that the leaders I admire are those that seem to be value-oriented or value-driven leaders. And that's what appeals to me.
Where did your values come from? Your values-driven, in your better moments at least, it came from your family, I guess. Where else did your values come from?
Well, that's a good question, because I was going to say I think it has to be my family. I grew up with this strong sense of what's right and wrong and moral values, and I really value, you know, trust and honesty, integrity. I think that's been reinforced, honestly, by the leaders that I admire. Certainly that's something that's an expected behavior within General Motors.
GM is a very different place, I think, than when you joined. And I sold GM with IBM years ago, and partly the world's evolved and we didn't worry about climate change back in the day. So there's some things that we don't blame the people in the past, but when your father worked there, your grandfather, it was a very different world.
I think it's evolved too under mission-driven leadership and clear articulation of our vision and values and the behaviors.
We're sitting down with Marisa West from General Motors Canada. Next up, we'll ask her if she's an introvert or more of an extrovert. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore, and this is the CEO Series. We're speaking with Marisa West of General Motors Canada. So you went to Michigan State and University of Michigan. So at football games, who do you cheer for? You must have mixed feelings.
I get that question all the time. Truthfully, I did my undergrad on campus at Michigan State, and I bleed green. There was just a camaraderie developed during that time in my life, and I completed my master's degree with U of M. Fantastic school, wonderful university, but I did most of the work remote, and so I don't think I built that strong affiliation. I don't root against the Wolverines unless they're playing the Spartans.
Well, I went to USC, and I played sports there, so we disliked Michigan in general principle. It was two great rivals there, so we appreciate that. You're clearly a leader today, Marisa. When did it strike you, and you said to yourself, Marisa, I might be a leader? Was it back in elementary or high school, or was it later in life?
Truthfully, I think it was later in life for me, actually after I had my first child, and I recognized I don't want to have a job. I wanted to be a leader, I wanted to have influence, and I wanted to make the world different than it was. And I think that came for me with motherhood. So in hindsight, I recognized I was a bit of a leader, throughout university and even back in high school, but I don't think I acknowledged it or recognized it myself until I had started in my career and became a mother.
So what have you learned about being a good learner? To be a good learner, here's the couple things you need to do. Anything strike you?
At the risk of sounding repetitive, it's listening.
Okay, fair enough.
I think to be a good learner, you absolutely have to listen, but then always be thinking about how you're applying what you're hearing, how you can, and being a bit of a visionary, and I think those are the two things. Always think about what can be, and always listen.
Are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
So I've done the Myers-Briggs assessment, and I know that I'm an extrovert, and I think for the most part I'm an extrovert, but I joke that I'm aging into being more of an introvert.
In my book I'm writing, been writing for a couple of years now, I argue that we're all ambiverts now. So an ambivert is someone who acts like an introvert and extrovert time, and I've interviewed about 500 C-suite executives. At your level, and it's partly life experience, but your level, you need to act like an introvert at times because it's good leadership. Where when you were a 23-year-old engineer, it was a different world and a different role.
Absolutely. I think if you're going to make your team feel comfortable to openly share their ideas, you have to, reserve your own opinion for a bit, because I think it's human nature. You don't want to go against the boss. Or, once the boss speaks, you tend to take that as, oh, that was the direction, that's the final word. And so absolutely learning to listen more than you speak is an art of leadership.
So it's something where you become a little bit more introverted, partly because of the role you have. But on the other hand, an introvert's got to give an inspiring speech sometimes to stir up the crew. So both sides are required at your level.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're joining us, this is Carl Moore from the CEO Series interviewing Marisa West, the president of General Motors Canada. How do you distress outside the office and let off some steam?
I'm a runner, and that's as much for my mental health as it is for my physical health. But I do my best thinking when I run. I decompress when I run, and I get ready for the day with a run.
You run in the morning then?
Yes.
So what time do you get up?
Between 4:30 and 5 most days.
That's hard. You don't find it hard to get up at that time, or you kind of just got into the habit?
I've always been a morning person.
Okay.
So, that's the only window of time I have for my run. And at this point in life, I appreciate the run more than I appreciate the extra hour of sleep.
What mantras or quotes do you tend to live by?
Well, it's a borrowed quote, actually. And I like Peter Drucker said it. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. And then the other one, and I can't remember, it's actually the CEO of IBM or was. And she said, growth and comfort do not coexist.
So these are kind of your philosophy of life.
I would say that. And then, my dad always taught me the golden rule is treat others as you'd like to be treated. And my kids would tell you that they're kind of sick of hearing me say that.
Okay, but it's a good thing to live by. When and where are you happiest?
I'm happiest when I'm out on the boat watching my kids swim, just the whole family together.
From a work context, when is it that you go, I'm in flow and I just love what I'm doing?
When I see a team that I was leading do something that exceeds my expectations.
And you help them to get to a point where they could go beyond what we would normally expect.
Absolutely. I think the most gratifying part of leadership is when you build a team and you help provide the vision, and then they deliver, and they deliver in their own unique way that achieves results that were better than you even expected. And you knew that they had the talent, you knew that they had the capability, but then when they actually come through and deliver and they get to enjoy that success and you get to witness it is euphoria.
Thank you very much for coming on the show with us today, to Marisa. I want to take a moment to hear the thoughts of our new producer, Gabby Hartshorn-Mell. Gabby is a great student of mine at McGill University. Gabby, what is your take on what we just heard?
Thank you, Professor Moore. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to Ms. West speak about her experience as a leader at GM, the company's innovative strides to fast-track and normalize Canada's transition to electric vehicles, and the company's efforts to support women in STEM through greater workforce representation. Ms. West's participation in the International Economic Forum of the Americas conference in Montreal will also help GM drive impact. The company's electric vehicle innovations and business model certainly align well with the theme of the conference, leading the net zero transition by 2035, as Ms. West mentioned in today's show. I also find the goal of inclusivity at General Motors to be incredibly refreshing, especially in an industry traditionally dominated by men. Ms. West herself serves as the perfect case to empower women to enter the automotive industry and succeed as an executive leader.
Thank you, Gabby. Marisa, I certainly look forward to hearing about all the new positive changes at GM as you grow further into your new role. I'm Carl Moore, and this has been the CEO Series. Thank you for listening. À la prochaine.